Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 2 this morning. Ephesians chapter 2. If you get there, if you'll please stand, please, as we read God's Word. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. It says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Let's pray. Father, as we come to you this morning, I pray that you'd give us ears to hear and eyes to see, that you would give us a yearning to seek your word, Lord, to seek you, to worship you, that we would be individually in this place waiting to hear a word from you. I pray that you would let me be your messenger, that you would give me the strength through the Holy Spirit to do that, that only you would receive praise and glory, and that your Spirit would speak to your sheep here. We love you in Christ's name. Amen. You know, I was sitting there thinking the prayers that we pray, the people that we lift up over and over and over, which is what the Lord wants us to do. And we pray for healing, and we pray for different things in people's lives and our lives. And sometimes it may not be lack of faith. It might be that we're a little scared of what God's will actually is. Paul has showed us all through the first of Ephesians and now in chapter 2. Brother Carroll told me after last weekend that maybe I need to get a little more excited when I preach, because I think I got a little wound up. That's okay. You cannot read the first few chapters of Ephesians and not. If you realize who you are in Christ Jesus, we have laid Tori before the throne of grace. We have laid many of you in here before the throne of grace. We laid Brother Wayne and Miss Retha before the throne of grace. Do you realize who you are? Do you realize the Bible has said that if you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, that you are right now in a certain position that he has elevated you to, sitting with Christ Jesus at the right hand of the Father on the throne? Do you realize that you are royalty because of Christ Jesus? Do you realize that he, the Son of God, shed his blood for you? Do you realize that the Bible says you are actually the apple of his eye? And if you go back and study that in the Hebrew, when he says that, that means you are actually the centermost position in the eyeball. You couldn't be any more centered than that. God has you in his eye always. He sees every sparrow that falls. He calms the storms. He walks on the sea. He feeds the 5,000. He took 11 men and changed the world. And he's doing the exact same thing today. I'm going to tell you, don't be scared of God's will. Pray in faith, but don't be scared of God's will. Winston Churchill made this statement. He was in the army and he did go through battle. He said, "The most thrilling thing in life is being shot at and missed." Well, I guess so. He was making a point. All of you, well, I say all of you, if you hadn't, I want to get you interested in it, have heard the name Corrie Ten Boom. How many have heard of that name and known her book, The Hiding Place? Okay, I see a lot of you haven't. That's going to be a good movie, Maisie, that we're going to show here. The Hiding Place. Miss Corrie Ten Boom, which died a few years ago, went through the Holocaust. She was from Holland. As a young girl, her and her sister and her family hid the Jewish people that were coming through. It was an underground railroad because the Nazis were putting them in concentration camps and eliminating them. Her and her family hid Jewish families that they could send them on their way, and they were caught by the Nazis. Her and her sister were put in a certain concentration camp. Her sister was younger, and her sister was weaker, and she did not survive the concentration camp. If you read her book or see the movie, you will see some of the horrific things that they went through, unimaginable things. Because of a clerical error, which she will tell you was God, she was let out of the concentration camp and did not go to the gas chambers. And she spent the rest of her life witnessing for God and serving God. God brought her back from the brink, as she says, brought her back from death. It's a perfect picture of what we see in chapter 2. I want to read a first part of it here, the first 10 verses. And I want you to think about your condition, because this is what you were. Okay? This is what you were. Paul tells us that. And if you don't have Christ this morning, it is what you are. Let's read God's word. "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others were. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Amen?
Amen.
Now, it's a shame that I have to preach after that, reading God's word. We just need to give the invitation now, I think. All of that in the original Greek was one sentence in Paul. They split it up for our benefit. But let's look at it. Paul said that sin works against us. And it does. Even as saved Christians, sin works against us. Paul seems to pull out his cell phone today, and he seems to take a full-length selfie of himself, a full-length picture of the terrible spiritual condition of unsaved people in the world. The whole picture, from head to toe, of the unsaved in the world, that the Bible says what condition that they are in. Bible says that he or she is dead, spiritually dead. They cannot understand the spiritual things of God. Well, then how in the world can anyone be saved? You're going to hear me refer to this over and over. I told you I have these moments when I'm studying and certain things illustrate themselves to me. I think I'm going to get me a t-shirt printed up that says this. Verse 4, the first two words, it says, "But God." That's my motto. That's Jeff. But God. The spiritually dead are dead, but for God. He is the one that calls. He is the one that saves. They cannot understand it. No spiritual life. They cannot please God. The world that we see sinning the way they are, that we talk about watching the news, that we see everything going haywire, that seems to be things that we've never seen in our life, or I have never seen. And we say when we talk, "I just don't understand, I just can't comprehend." Well, yeah, we really can, because he's telling us right here why they act the way they act. They cannot do any better. Understand, they're acting by what their nature is. It is their nature to act the way you see some of the people acting today. It's not that they were good. It's not that they were on this high plane and then they suddenly fell. That's who they were from birth, and that's who you were from birth. The old saying, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." Amen? By God's grace, because we didn't deserve any of it. They cannot function until God gives them life. Why is that? The Bible says because of trespasses and sins. What's a trespass in the Bible? It is a deviation from the truth. When Adam and Eve fell, for some reason we seem to think when we read in Genesis that Satan came along and tempted them, and Adam and Eve struggled with it and whatever, and they fell. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that Adam and Eve, and mainly Adam, because it was his responsibility, rejected God. Don't ever miss that. They rejected God and what God said. God said you could do anything in the world except eat from that one tree. Isn't that human nature? Somebody tells you that as a kid, Jeff, Mama would say, you can have anything else to eat, but I've made this for supper. Do not get in it. Oh, the temptation it was to go in that fridge and get it out, especially if it was a dessert. The temptation's there. Adam and Eve rejected God and failed. God's covering left them then. God's anointing left them from that time forward. That's the reason we live in sin when we are born into sin. As by one man sin came into the world, and death came through that sin. And death is passed upon all of us because we're all sinners. These people cannot do any better because of the trespasses, the deviation from, and the sin that follows. Anything that's ever happened in the world, wars, horrible things, natural catastrophes, all of it has come from sin. Because man deviated, God says his creation has deviated. It's just going down, going down, and going down. Evolution says everything's getting better, and getting better, and you can see the truth. You know it's not. Man's not getting better. Man's getting worse. The Bible says that. The statue in Daniel, from gold all the way down to iron and clay, shows us the deviation of man and what's going to happen in the end when those 10 toes just crumble. That's what the Bible teaches. In Romans 6:23, the wages of sin, in other words, the earnings of sin is what? It's death. In other words, separation from God. Jesus taught on hell almost as much in the Bible as he did on his gospel. Why? Because he didn't want you to go there. He doesn't want people to go there. It's an urgent message. When he came to earth to proclaim the message, he didn't come over a 30-year period. God could have let him live to 100 years. And every now and then give the gospel. It was in a 3-year period, and he never stopped preaching the gospel of what he was going to do. And after that, it was an urgency for the apostles and the church to keep that urgency about us to spread the gospel, because people are dying and going to hell because they're dead in their trespasses and sins. And they don't know it. I've told y'all what I've been asking people. Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? And the natural reaction is to say yes, just to shut somebody up. That's what they'll do. But you at least put it on their mind. Not do you go to church, not have you been baptized, but do you believe Jesus, the Christ, is the Son of God? In one vast graveyard, people who are dead live, and that's what we live among. We live amongst on this earth in one vast graveyard. That's why the Bible says, hallelujah, that we are not of this world. We are not part of this world. That's why it's strange to you, and it should be, to live in this world and see the things that are happening. If you conform to this world, if you don't think things now are getting worse, if you don't see the things that the Bible talks about, then you need to look in the mirror, because you should, because you don't belong here. You're like that white, little pristine, pretty, I'll say poodle. I'm not a poodle fan, but poodle. I want to say a lab. But anyway, that nice little pretty poodle that gets out in the mud puddle and gets dirty. You don't belong there. I like what John Hagee said years ago, and he's quoting from somebody else, though, talking about somebody that pretends to be a Christian. He said, a bath, a bar of soap, and a red ribbon doesn't make a pig a poodle. Okay? You can dress up, but it doesn't make that. 1 Timothy 5:6 says, but she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. Understand? But she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. Not knowing it, not understanding it. And then he says, the sinner is disobedient to God. Genesis 2:7, that I told you. In that day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And what did the accuser of the brethren, what did the deceiver, what did the liar stand right there and tell Eve? That's not what God meant. He didn't deny God told her something, but he said, that's not what God meant. How many people are taking God's word right now and telling our younger people, either in schools or other churches or in the music some of them listen to, that's not really what the Bible says. You can be more accepting, because as a Christian, you don't need to be intolerant. Jesus was not intolerant. I beg to differ. God is the most intolerant individual that there is. He doesn't put up with things that's not in his word. He doesn't tolerate. Be careful when they call you intolerable and make fun of you. You need to say, praise the Lord, because I'm being more loving. You tolerate the things of God. And the world will do exactly what Satan did and say, that's not what God really meant. It is what God really meant. They're disobedient to God's word. The worries of the world, Jesus said, choke out the word when you hear it. You might leave here today, and at least I have read the word of God to you, so you at least ought to get that. You might walk out here today, though, and you got so many words on your mind that you forget what we read as soon as you leave. That's what Jesus is talking about. You don't hear it, you don't see it, you don't think about it because your worries are on the other things of the world. And the scripture cannot help you in that stead. He says, be careful of that. Don't let that happen. Concentrate on God's word. The devil is the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, and the flesh is the fallen nature, and it acts just like it. When you see some of our leaders, I'm not calling names, but when you see others on TV and they're acting in a certain way, it's because they have that nature, and God says you need to pray for them. Peter said he even needed to pray for Nero. And Nero is the one that hung so many Christians on the cross, and they lit them up at night that it lit up the city. God has us here for a reason, and it is to be his witness. He didn't ask our opinion whether we agreed with his will or not. He asked us to do his will. I might not like what the world does at all, but I am supposed to love the people because my Jesus shed his blood for them also. He shed his blood for the thief that accepted him on the cross, and he also shed his blood for the one that rejected him on the cross. They are disobedient because they know no better. A man like that is also depraved. That simply means he can do nothing good to merit salvation whatsoever. He is depraved in his mind. He's doomed without hope. Without hope in the world, he is doomed, is what Paul is saying. I told you over here, the first two words that Paul said was in first verse 1 is, and you he made alive. Now you'll see that's in italics in your Bible. That means that a scribe probably added those three words, he made alive. And you'll say, does that mean it's not accurate? That means somebody's messing with the scriptures? Not at all. It fits in there perfectly, and all theologians have accepted that because it is a correct verse. And you, in other words, he saved who were dead in trespasses and sins. He made alive. When the Bible says he quickened you, that's what it means. It means he gave your dead spirit life. Your dead spirit life. But then over here in verse 4, after all that we've just talked about, after it says they are hopeless in the world, then we get the two words I told you about later that I highlighted. It says, but God. But God, who is rich in his mercy because of his great love. He loved us, the Bible says. God's love, when he related to sinners, became grace, and it became mercy. When you see Jesus, when you picture him on the cross and the resurrection, it is a picture of grace and mercy from God. His mercy, because he does not give us what we deserve. The Bible just told us what we deserved. The Bible just told us who we were. Whether we like it or not, we might say, I'm not like those. Yes, you were. You might not have murdered anybody. You might not have done some of the things other people do. But before God's holiness and his just and righteous attributes, you were the same thing, the Bible says, before you were saved. Let me read that again. His mercy to us because he does not give us what we deserve. His grace because he gives us what we do not deserve. That's what grace is. He gives us what we do not deserve, and that's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I gave you that picture when I started of him sitting at the right hand of the Father, and it clearly teaches in the first teaching we had in the first of Ephesians that because of your position of being chosen and of the elect, because you gave your life to Christ, you were seated now in a position with Christ even before we get there. Hallelujah. That's how much he loves you, that he's given it to us already. He quickened us, like I said. He made us alive. And that means he made us together with Christ. Our spiritual position is in the heavenly places, as I said, with Christ. And then he keeps us. Okay? Warren Wiersbe says this: since we've not been saved by our good works, we cannot be lost by our bad ones. I've said this a Sunday or two ago. If God has made you chosen and made you of the elect and used his foreknowledge and predestined you and says you're already seated in Christ at the right hand of the Father on the throne, if you're covered by the blood of Christ, if you are the apple of his eye, if one of you here today can come up to me after the service and tell me of a power that you know of great enough to pull you out of Jesus' hands with all of that, then I'll re-examine the scriptures. But until you can, I'm going to believe what God says, that I'm secure in him. Amen. I'm secure in Christ Jesus. Mr. Wayne, laying in the ICU right now, is secure in Christ Jesus. And that's the most important thing. Yes, we pray for healing. Yes, we pray for other things. But the most important thing to God and the most important thing in the universe is his security in Christ Jesus. And that's what it teaches. He keeps us. He loves us. And God has finished his great work in salvation, and it has been given to us. For we that believe are his workmanship. I know we got a couple of good carpenters in here. Maybe a lot of you are. Others of you that can do it. In other words, you're good at putting stuff together. And you've worked on something and you've put it together and you sit back and it actually looks pretty good. I've never been able to say that, but I can put stuff together. But it actually looks pretty good. You are Christ's workmanship. You remember what Paul has told us? That God has built us up like a building. He is the foundation, right? Remember what I talked a couple of months ago about the cornerstone in the Old Testament? When they laid the cornerstone of the temple, it emphasized and it shown a picture forward that is Christ Jesus. He is the corner. He is the stone. He is what it is built upon. And Paul says he is building you upon that foundation. And he's building you every single day of your life. He's not finished with you yet. Not until we go to heaven to be with him. Then it says that he redeems us. But you're being built every single day. You're being tested. You're being loved. You're being built upon that foundation to make you more like Christ Jesus, that one day when we stand before him, we will be like Christ Jesus, not equal to, but be like him, because God in his workmanship made us that way, that we can live throughout all of eternity in a relationship with God because of the covering of the blood of Jesus Christ. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for you and me to do good works. And it says that he prepared those things beforehand that we should walk in them. My prayer should be, Lord, show me the works that you have for me to do today. And please don't let me miss them. Because I promise you, it'll be the most joy-filled day of your life. To walk in the will and in the presence of God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, being led by the Holy Spirit. I'll say it again. Do not fear the will of God. It is God's will that this earth go through certain things. It is God's will that the nations rage. Okay? They do it, but in him bringing everything to fruition, it is God's will that that's going to happen. It is God's will of whoever he allows to be a president or a dictator or the head of a nation. The Bible says so. It is God's will in our life. Not that he makes a lot of things happen, but he uses his will and our free will in everyday life to bring us to his glory. And the Bible says everyone that loves the Lord, okay, good will happen in your life. He will turn it to that way. It may not seem like it at the time, But God promises us that it's going to turn out to be that way. We might fear a lot of things. We may not know God's will always. We might pray in a little hesitancy because we don't know it, but do not ever fear what God's will is for your life and in your life, because you are seated in Him at the right hand of God. Your position in Him already is. You don't have to attain it because you can't. He's already given it to you. Your position is at the right hand of the Father, praise the Lord, in Christ Jesus. And I might mess things up on this world, in this earth, but I can't mess that up because He's holding me. Amen. I want you to remember that. And let's just glorify and praise Him. Brother W.